What a way to start the day. The home run call of the day, Kyle Manzardo, Cleveland Guardians. Big home run in the eighth inning, leading the Guardians over the Twins. Tom Hamilton with the call. We thank both of them. Kyle for hitting home run, Tom for the home run call of the day, because it's a great way to start the day. Thank you, everybody, for listening. Thank you, everybody, for following, subscribing, for buying the T-shirts, for putting the stickers on computers, for wearing the wristbands, for screaming from the mountaintops, all of it. Thanks. At BB isn't boring. At BB isn't boring. Producer, I've been doing an excellent job on the Instagram, on the socials, on all of it. Bruce, everyone, reach out to Producer Evan. Say, good job, Producer Evan. Nice job. All right, well, as we said, the Cleveland Guardians, congratulations, Cleveland Guardians. You are in a great position. Everyone doubted you. Everyone said maybe you fall apart. No, they're five up on the Royals now. They're in a really, really good shape heading into the last couple of weeks of the season. They can clinch a postseason berth as soon as Wednesday. The Royals, conversely, the Royals, who were the team right behind them, they lost to the Detroit Tigers. The Detroit Tigers, who are a game and a half out of the wild card right now, in case everybody is so like obsessed with the Fangraft odds. And listen, I mean, for the most part, they're pretty accurate. They're pretty accurate, but they're not always accurate. And I'm going to give you an example. The Tigers, back on the trade deadline day, when they're trading Jack Flaherty, and they're saying, oh, you know what? We're going to be sellers. 2.8% to make the playoffs, according to Fangraphs. Now, a game and a half back, one of the hottest teams in baseball, 78-73. So, obviously, you have a part of a great, great race. Right behind them, Seattle Mariners, and then Red Sox, four back, the wild card. In the National League, what you got is you got the Mets with a great come-from-behind win. Another, they're red-hot. Who doesn't like the Mets? Any team that has a purple shit seat because of McDonald's, because of Grimace, and because of, you know, and then you have the OMG. And hopefully we can advance the OMG, the Jose Iglesias conversation a little bit going forward. Stay tuned for that. So, in the National League, wild card, Padres, 3.5 up, Diamondbacks game up, Mets have the third wild card, and then the Braves now outside looking in, their game back. All right, to go back to the American League, let's talk about the Yankees. Let's talk about Nestor Cortes and the Yankees. Today's guest on the Baseballs Are Boring podcast, Nestor Cortes. Now, Nestor Cortes is a starter for the Yankees, the Yankees, who have a three-game lead on the Orioles, who are playing very well, who have to be considered one of the favorites, certainly, to win the American League. Well, Nestor Cortes leads them in innings pitched, 168 in third innings, has a very, very reputable 3.90 ERA, 9-10. Has made 29 starts in 30 games. Now, you say 29 starts in 30 games. Well, there's that one game where they decided to have Nestor Cortes basically piggyback in a game against the Chicago Cubs. Now, so you say, well, a guy who has the innings lead in your staff has had a pretty good year, and you decide to have him be the piggyback guy. And we heard the emotion. We heard Nestor Cortes, and this was a few weeks ago, and when the piggyback, that was on September 7th, where he just was not happy. He wasn't happy, and good for him. Listen, hey, listen, you're having that kind of year. You're saying, hey, you're not going to start anymore. That's the problem. You know, it's a problem for Nestor Cortes because he had been one of the most reliable starters. Leading into that, he had a bad start. He had a bad start on September 1st, 4 innings, 5 runs. But leading into that, 3 starts before that, 7 innings, no run. 7 innings, no run. 6 2/3, 1 run. Then he has a 1 bad start, and boom, you go to the bullpen. Or you have to piggyback the starter. Well, it didn't last long. So he got back in the starting rotation, gave up 1 run over 5 innings on September 12th, and now he's going to be back in the rotation, and he's going to be pitching on Wednesday. So anyway, We've had Nestor on the podcast before, 36-round pick, and we've talked a lot about the adversity and what comes with being a 36-round pick, all of that. But this was next level. This was a next level conversation. This was the real raw emotion and things that he hadn't told anybody else when it came to the decision to put him in the bullpen just for that one time. Things that he hadn't told anyone else, even his old manager, even his coaches, even his own organization. But no, he tells baseball isn't boring. All right, so New York Yankees, you know, they're red hot. They're an interesting team, and Nestor Cortez is certainly an interesting player, one that we always love having on the podcast. So just remember, everybody, rate, review, subscribe. Rate, review, subscribe. Get the T-shirts, get the wristbands, get the stickers. Get whatever you want. Subscribe, go to the socials, at BB isn't boring, all of it. You know, we set the scene. It is now, as we said, it's nut crunching time. That's just a fact. It's just a fact. And by the way, if the Baseball Isn't Boring Roadshow is in effect once again this week, I am in Miami, where I will be catching up with the CEO, Joe Kelly, and amongst other people, for the Dodgers, maybe the Marlins. And then I'll be trekking through Florida over the other side, over to Tampa a little bit later. All right, here you go. Here's another great conversation with Nestor Cortez. I really enjoyed our conversation we had earlier in the year, Nestor Cortez. And what I'm going to say is that we always pick a player who we think is going to dominate in the postseason. And so I'm picking you.
You're picking me?
Yeah. And here's the reason why. This is somewhat based on our previous conversation. I love the fact that you talked about how far you've come. You know, 37th round pick?
36.
Yeah. All right. 36th round pick. All the things that you've overcome. As we said, when you're a 36th round pick, you don't get the chances. You don't get the chances of a first, second, third round pick.
For sure.
So you've had to. There is no situation that you're going to be like, well, you know, this is big, because every day was big for you.
Yep.
I'm here to pump you up, but I'm like, this is one of the reasons. And by the way, I just saw you pitch a really, really, really good game in a really important time in September. Am I off base with that? Like that mindset, like in terms of, listen, like I've been through it, man.
Yeah.
It's not that big.
No, you're accurate about that. It's like you said, like I didn't have time in the minor leagues to develop a pitch. You know, when I got to the big leagues, I just had my heater. And then I had to figure it out here of how to get outs. In the minor leagues, it was more about, you know, I didn't have a changeup. I didn't have a curveball. I had an okay slider, and I was just throwing my heater. And I didn't have my cutter, which is my bread and butter. You know, it feels like every time I was down there, I was trying to just prove that I can get outs.
Mm.
And as the first 2 years went along, they kind of like, okay, let's give this guy a little bit of more leash. Okay, let's see what he can do in this level.
But you had to prove it every single day.
Every single day. I remember I drafted at 13, played rookie ball in the Gulf Coast League that year. Mm. 14, came back Gulf Coast League again, rookie ball. 15, I stay back and extended. I don't make a team out of spring. Stay back and extended, and I go to the advanced rookie ball, which was Pulaski at the time. It was the first year, so I had three rookie balls under my belt. Exceeded in all three levels, or in all three years. And then in 16, I said, okay, I just had a good year in 15. You know, they might push me up to low A. Stayed and extended again in the 16, and I'm like, I don't know what I gotta do, you know. And at this point, I'm just happy I'm pitching, and I'm happy I'm playing for the New York Yankees in the minor leagues. And I remember somebody gets hurt in low A Charleston, and they're like, hey, you're gonna spot start up there. Okay, end up throwing like five or six innings with one or two runs. And then the guy that got hurt isn't ready yet, because he hurt his hamstring, so he wasn't ready.
Yeah.
So I make my second start, my third start, and my fourth start, and now I'm dominating. And I think, I mean, I had a ridiculous stat where I think I gave up like six runs in 80 innings in low A.
Yeah.
And now,
can you imagine if first round pick did that?
Oh my gosh, I would be in Triple A by the end of the year. No, So being in low A, they gave me a spot start in double A.
Yeah.
Went up to double A, came out of the bullpen for four, finished the game, kind of like what I did in Wrigley. Came back to low A, and like 2 weeks later, get promoted to high A. Mm-hmm. And while I'm at high A, I get promoted to triple A for a spot start. I threw 5 innings of no-hit baseball. Seve gave up a hit after me. It's like, well, Seve's about to be in the big leagues. You know, this guy just came from high A. So, you know, it was fun. And I remember one of the guys here, one of our analytical guys, or video guys, I'm not sure who it was, Al Pedriga was our manager that year in AAA, and he's like, hey, give me the lineup card, have everybody sign it, because I don't think this kid is going to ever be back here.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it was one of those. He's like, this might be the only chance he pitches in AAA. So I got the lineup card in my house of everybody who signed, like Pete Cosma and, you know, Solano and all these guys that were, you know, veterans in the game already. But yeah, like you said, I've had to show that I'm able to pitch. I've had to show that, you know, I'm always available. So, and Swisher said it the other day in a podcast or something, or maybe on TV.
Yeah.
He said, the best ability is availability.
Mm-hmm.
And that stuck with me ever since, I want to say, double A in 2017. Because I was getting thrown around. I was, you know, hey, make a spot start in triple A, come back. Hey, right. Make a spot start in triple A, come back. And I guess being available led me up to those opportunities, and I shined in those opportunities.
Well, you're available and you're good.
And I mean, was good.
You're
yeah.
not, if that's the thing, is yeah. if you're not available, you never get a chance. Because it's like, oh, listen, if I was pitching, I'd be really, really good.
Exactly.
Yeah. No, but you're available and you're good. And well, one of the questions I want to ask you was the biggest game that you've ever pitched in, right? Because if we're gonna go down this road, and we're gonna give you the very special customized baseballs and boring shirt.
Yeah,
I have to know where you're coming from. Like, where? What is the biggest? To your this point, what is the biggest game that you've pitched?
You know what? The one that stands out the most is Game 5 in the ALDS versus Cleveland, just because I was on 3-day rest. I had never done that in my career. I knew our backs were against the wall. It was a winner go home game. And I remember being a fan of baseball as a little kid. When you watch October baseball, the best ones were coming on 3-day rest. Whether it was the Josh Becketts, whether it was the Roger Clemens, whether it was Andy Pettitte, you know, every time you saw October baseball, the aces of the staff were the ones that are coming off on short rest to pitch a necessary game. And that kind of like, it was like, wow, it was like a I made it moment for me, because I remember we were supposed to play a game 5 here, night game, and we got rained out that night. And Booney calls me into his office as soon as he got rained out. He's like, hey, you got the ball tomorrow. And I'm like, holy shit.
Let's go.
I don't even know if I'm ready to pitch tomorrow. My arm is still sore. But it worked out. I pitched five strong innings, and we ended up winning that game. So that's the biggest game I pitched.
Well, so then you pitched the game, and so now you go into this October. What is the lesson you learned? I mean, is it legitimately just, hey, listen, to come back to my original point.
Yeah.
I've been through so much, man.
Yeah.
Like, I've been through so much. I'm going to be out there. I'm going to pitch like I did in Pulaski. I know it's October. Yeah. I've already pitched in October. So what is the lesson?
Yeah, I think it's a little mix of both. It's a little mix of, hey, I threw myself to this point. I'm going to keep proving myself and everybody else around me, kind of like pitching with that chip on my shoulder. But I feel like now people are expecting a lot from me too, right? I'm an all-star. You know, I'm a playoff winner, whatever, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
So fans are expecting, you know, organizations expecting the best of me, right?
Yeah.
Where in my mentality, it's like, okay, just keep proving people wrong, right? Having that chip on your shoulder where yeah, you have a name for yourself. Maybe you've established yourself, but that don't matter right now. What matters is winning, and what matters is proving that you can still do this at this level. And I guess, like I said, it's going to be a little bit of both.
No, but it's good to have both, right?
Yeah, I think it's good. Or where you have confidence from people where, like, hey, Nestor's a guy.
Yeah.
But then you have yourself kind of doubting yourself, but turning that into, like, you know, being the best you can at that moment.
Well, that's the thing, though, Nestor, is that you, when you get to that moment, it's like you're like, yes, you've proved yourself. But to be in that moment, you have proved yourself because people have put, like, Booney calls you in.
Exactly.
Like, he knows you're good, and he knows it. In games like, you know, as we sit here, this is, you had just pitched in a pretty big game, right?
Yeah.
Against a team that's desperate, right?
Yeah.
And so, like, you know, like, hey, listen, I'm the right guy at the right time here, right?
Yeah, and you know, last week what happened with me, you know, signing into the bullpen, whatever, and like I said last night, you know, I made my point across that I wasn't very happy, but at the end of the day, you know, going to Wrigley and watching Rizzo get that ovation of him winning, being a World Series champ, you know, the magnitude, I feel like we understand it to a certain point of winning here, but we don't really grasp how big it really is if we do win here. And I want to make sure that I can do anything possible to be as close to that as possible, if that makes sense. I just want to pitch. I want to have fun, and I want to win. That's basically what it comes
down to. So what does a moment, like you said, you go through that, whatever, the bullpen thing, and then you have the start, but you've lived your whole professional life with a chip on your shoulder. And the reality is that you're always going to come out on the other side because you're good. Yeah. But there's moments like that where, like, okay, you know, that chip's not going anywhere.
It didn't. It's funny you say that because part of the reason I was upset was because I did piggyback in the minor leagues.
Mm-hmm.
And the guy in front of me was always the prospect.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I was in the rotation because they trusted me enough to pitch every 5 days.
Mm-hmm.
But every time a guy got called up to pitch or a guy got demoted to pitch, I was always the piggyback guy. So it brought back so many, you know, like...
Yeah, I'm no longer the piggyback guy.
Yeah, like, I've done enough this year to be your workhorse. I've done enough to prove that I can do it every 5 days, right? Why me? That was basically my question. Why me, right? And, I mean, you can make a case for anybody. It could have been anybody.
Yeah.
But, you know, just for myself, it was like, why me? And that's why I was a little pissed off about it. And like I said, it just brought back memories of me being in minor leagues.
Can I tell you, like, so I've seen plenty of guys where they get moved to the bullpen and they're pissed because you want to start in the bullpen. But your explanation of that and your experience of that, that's more impactful, more powerful, and honestly, like, has more merit to it because that's never going to leave you.
Never.
Right? Right?
Never.
I mean, they probably don't know. I don't know if you articulated it.
No. And this is the first time I'm sharing this with you because I realized that I was pissed because of that. Because it reminded me of when I was in minor leagues and we had a big prospect coming up or down or somebody had to make a start. I was always the piggybacker. So that's kind of why it led to, you know, the comments that I made and kind of, you know, that pissy attitude that I had. But then again, after I proved it in Wrigley, it's like, dude, why are you complaining? You could do either or, you know. And as far as money and getting contracts and stuff like that, you do want to start. You do want to make as many starts as possible.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
That's what gets you paid.
Right, right,
right. So, you know, you take care of your career somehow, and then, you know, but you perform, and then it's like, all right, it doesn't matter. And then I also said, well, I have 28 starts. It's a full season.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Regardless of what happens from here on out, I already have a full season under my belt.
Yeah.
Obviously, I want to keep pitching. I want to pitch in the playoffs. But I told myself, if they put me in the bullpen, who cares? I already made 29 starts, you know?
And good one. I mean, yeah, good.
I've had a solid season.
Yeah.
You know, I won't say it's the best season, but it's definitely up there with you know, a durable and above average season.
Yeah.
Yeah, sure.
So the last is sort of, you talked about winning a championship. I like talking to guys who had closed out World Series, like had the ball at the end of this World Series. Have you envisioned that? Like, have you envisioned, like, you talked, I love when you talk about the playoffs, about the 3-day starts, because I'm thinking all these guys that I covered who did that. Have you thought about what that looks like? You've had playoffs, but you haven't had that. Have you thought about, like, what that looks like?
As far as in,
as far as just like winning it, like
oh
winning.
yeah.
Like, I mean, I know that like everybody, but
yeah. You know what?
Or do you not like? You just have to be old one day at a time.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. Obviously, mentality is one day at a time, but you know, it is going to be pretty cool when you know we're in the World Series and. Maybe I pitched whatever game 4 or game 3 whatever it is, and or I came out of the bullpen in game 2 and now I'm coming out of the bullpen in game 6, you know, and to be that clutch and clincher for the team at that moment, obviously it's gonna be like, you know, you go like, oh, so and so started game 6 and he went 5 strong, but they remember the guy that closed it out that probably pitched 2 days ago or 3 days ago, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Or like, for example, we had Wandy Peralta in 2022.
Mm-hmm.
He pitched all 5 games of the DS.
Yeah.
You know, like, that holds a lot of weight.
Yeah.
Garrett had solid outings against Cleveland. I had solid outings against Cleveland. Yeah. But what people remember most, like, if we would have won that year, automatically the thought goes, man, Wandy Peralta pitched all 5 games in DS.
And he was in a zone.
Without him,
we
probably don't get probably don't win it all.
No.
You know what I mean? So like that's really important too.
And last thing is I've been meant to ask you this last time. I'm fascinated by this has nothing to do with the hesitation stuff.
Yeah.
Because Joe Kelly owns the LLC of the whole baseball's boring thing, and he actually said, and this is what I want to ask you. So he said the guy, when he was doing the thing that you did, he said Stephen Kwan was the guy that always gave him trouble. Because Stephen Kwan is basically like the hitter version.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I don't know if you feel the same way or if this is something that sort of it's a credit to you that a lot of guys have started doing this, the hesitation.
Thing. Yeah. No, I mean, like I've said before, the hesitation comes in from a place, literally as I'm getting the ball back from my catcher, maybe it's along a bat, maybe it's somebody has a big leg kick, like you said, like the Stephen Kwan, like, you know, he's a hitter that's not gonna swing and miss, so you're gonna have to try and get him out as much as you can and as effective as you can. And for me, it's solely based out of, you know, feel. When I get the ball back and I turn around and I'm like, I'm always a pitch ahead. I'm throwing my pitch to set up hitters, and then I'm a pitch ahead.
Mm-hmm.
And in that moment, I'm like, okay, this is a good spot for hesitation or a drop down.
That's interesting.
And literally, what I do, the movements that I do, it's on the spot. It's not that I practiced, you know, before the game. It's not that okay, I'm going to do this one today. It's solely on how long can I keep my balance. To throw off the timing of the hitter, and that's basically what I do.
That's fascinating. Well, I appreciate you taking the time.
No problem.
Congratulations on this great honor.
Thank you. Thank you.